All right, good evening. Good to see everybody here this evening. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. That's where we'll be starting tonight. I usually stay in one place, but tonight we're going to kind of be jumping around as we do our second sermon in our series on the fear of God. And I know this isn't a popular series. This isn't something that everybody's going to want to tune in to listen to because it's a negative topic. Nobody wants to hear about fear anymore. But I think it's something we need to learn. We need to become God-fearers again. Jake was pointing out a book to me earlier today, and the title of the book was, "Where is all the God-fearers gone?" And that's a good question. Where's the people that used to fear God? Where are they at now? So we've done this series, and our goal is that we would become God-fearers, not to fear man, but to fear God, and that the fear of God will drive out all the other fears in our life. So we want to make that primary. So what we're going to read here today is Exodus 20. I just want to read verses 18 through 21. And the title of the sermon tonight is "To Fear or Not to Fear." I guess that is the question. To fear or not to fear. And we're going to use that question to try to understand what does it mean for us to fear God. So I want to start with these verses, and it starts in verse 18. Again, just to read through verse 21 to get us started. We know what this is. If you just read a few verses ahead, he just finished giving the Ten Commandments. So this is after the Ten Commandments. And he says this in verse 18. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not." Notice that. I've underlined, "Fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear," I underline that, "that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." So you see there, it says, "Fear not," and then it says, "Fear." It's two different things. It's the same verse. Verse 21, "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." We'll stop there for now, but I want to ask that question. Are we to fear or not to fear? That's the question. And what does that mean? So let's pray together, and we'll study this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in your word. I love studying through Exodus, Exodus 3, Exodus 20, Exodus 33, and seeing how you reveal yourself to us. And every time you do that, there's fear. So God, we need to know what that means. We need to understand who you are and how we need to respond in that. That there would be a certain type of fear that we would have of you. So God, teach us what that is. Help us to become, as a church, our church family, the people that are here tonight, to become a more God-fearing people than when we came in. So help me to teach this tonight. Help me to show the distinctives of these two types of fear so that we can fear in the right way. So help us, God. Teach us by your Spirit and by your Word. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear is a strange emotion. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but on one hand, there's a fear that we like, and on another hand, there's a fear that we don't like. I compare it to the fear that Hallie would have right now. The thing that she thinks is the funniest thing in the world is when I hide my face and then I look at her and say, "Boo!" And she jumps and she laughs. And it scares her, but she thinks it's funny. So there's a fear there that she likes. And then there's a fear on the other hand that she doesn't like, where Steph puts her in a bathtub and she straightens out her legs and her arms and tries everything that she can not to get in the water. She's scared to death and screaming. So there's a fear that she likes and there's a fear that she doesn't like. And I think all of us adults have that too. There's a certain fear. I don't know if you guys do, but everybody likes a good scary movie every now and then where they can sit back and they're shaking and they're nervous and there's adrenaline that's rushing and you're sitting there, you're loving it, and you watch another one. And there's a reason that they keep putting out scary movies, because people love them. They love scary movies. They love doing scary things. There are actually people who get in cages to swim with sharks. There's people who jumps out of, my dad used to say, would say, perfectly good airplanes. And because they want an adrenaline rush. They want to stare fear in the face. And they love that type of fear. But then there's the other type of fear for all of us, where we're scared of sickness. We're scared of death. We're scared of something bad happening to us. So there's a fear that we like, and there's a fear that we don't like, that we try to stay as far away from as possible. And even the Bible would give us different types of fear. We're told in the Bible more than any other statement in the Bible, do not fear. 1 John 4 says that perfect love casts out all fear. We know those verses. It's all over the Bible. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. And then you get verses like Proverbs 1:7 that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You get verses like Luke 1:50 that said the Lord's mercy is on those who fear Him. You get verses like Ecclesiastes 12 that says the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and to obey Him. So on one hand, don't fear, and on the other hand, do fear. So the question is, do we fear or not? It's like there's a contradiction there that's going on. And that's even here in Exodus 20. You see that. Moses said, as he come down out of the mountain and he's talking to the people, he says in verse 20, don't fear. And then almost, let me see, yeah, same sentence, fear. It's like he's going one place and the other. Don't fear, but fear. So the question again is, fear or not? Are we supposed to fear or should we not fear? So I think the answer here, and I want to teach this tonight, is that there's two types of fears in the Bible. There's two types of fears that we could have. And one is to be condemned, don't fear. And the other one is to be commended. You need to do this. One fear is a good fear, and the other fear is a bad fear. So I want to do my best. And it's a Bible study. So be ready to turn and to read and to understand this. I want to describe these two types of fear and show you the one fear don't have, the other fear do have. So let's look at this tonight. To fear or not to fear. My job is to tell you the difference. And I've only given you 2 points tonight because I'm going to give you two types of fear. And I've given the outline. Isaiah says he can easily do 2 points, so he's going to easily get him a milkshake at McDonald's after this is over. So if you guys get your 2 points, you can go buy your own milkshake. So I want to show you to fear or not to fear. Number one, I want to show you a fear that is afraid. A fear that is afraid. You see here in Exodus 20, Moses in verse 18 comes down to the mountain. You understand who was up in the mountain? You get that right. God had come down in the mountain and met with Moses and given him the Ten Commandments, given him the law. So God was up in that mountain. And earlier he had told Israel to stay away from the mountain. Don't touch it. And as they're looking up at the mountain, and Moses is going up there by himself, there's all kinds of things that are happening up there in the mountain. And Israel's around the mountain. And they're looking up there at what Moses and God are doing up there. And here's what they see. Verse 18. God's up in that mountain. You got that. Verse 18. This is a mighty display of God's power up in that mountain. And I think if you look at it here, it engaged all their senses. I found that fascinating as I was reading it yesterday. It says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings. As you can imagine, I looked at pictures of it today, drawings, paintings. What would that have looked like? The thunderings and the lightnings on top of the mountain. So they saw that. And then there was the noise of the trumpet that they heard. Some type of trumpet, loud noises going on up in there. And then there was the mountain smoking. There's the smell. So they're seeing and they're smelling and they're hearing all these things that are going on up in the mountain. It's a mighty display of where God shows up. And watch what they say. The people saw it. And they removed themselves. And they stood afar off. You read in that, and they're scared to death. They're shaking in their sandals is what they're doing. Their knees are knocking. They're scared out of their minds right here. And they're backing away from the mountain. And they're saying, we can't even be close to this mountain. It's scaring them to death. They are afraid of what's going on there. That's the key word. They are afraid of God. They're saying we got to be careful. We might die. He could kill us if we get anywhere close. It would be like us going to the overlook at the natural tunnel. Anybody ever been there? Take 5 kids over there. There's a fear. Don't get close to that ledge. And my boys are hanging over the fence. You could die. They're not. I'm afraid of heights. That's what this is. It's afraid. Sheer terror. Stay away. Run in the opposite direction. They're not running to God for an intimate, close relationship. They're running from God and keeping a distance from God. They are afraid of God. And this is the fear, if we're looking at this, this is the fear that Moses tells them, don't you have that fear. Don't you be afraid of God. You need to get that. Don't you be afraid of God. To fear God is not to be afraid of God. Don't you do that, he says. Look at that. And Moses said to the people, fear not. This fear that he doesn't want us to have is a misunderstanding of God. This is a looking up into the mountain and seeing God as a judge. Seeing God as harsh. Seeing God as mean. Seeing God as cruel. Seeing God as pictures you see in our culture today of a long-haired gray man with a lightning bolt ready to take you down at any time. And you're scared to death. That's the view they had of God in that mountain. He was mean and dreadful and harsh. And they needed Moses. No, we can't go to that God. You have to go to that God for us. We're scared to death. He's so mean. They didn't know God and who He really was. So they were afraid of God. If we go there, my sin will be exposed. If I go up there, He'll judge me. If I go up there, He'll kill me. He's terrible. He's dangerous. He's mean. They had a misunderstanding of God. And because they had a misunderstanding of God, see, being afraid of God has a misunderstanding of God, which will drive you to run from God. Look what they do. I mean, you see that. It's in twice it says that. In verse 18 it says, they removed themselves. They stood afar off. And then in verse 21 it says, and the people stood afar off. They got as far away from God as they could. This is the same wording that is used in Genesis 3:10 when Adam and Eve sinned. Listen to this verse. I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Fear like this always runs from God. This is the wrong fear. And we see it. It's all around us. People all around us, maybe in this room, fear God in this way. They're afraid of God. This is an atheistic fear. People who don't believe in God fear Him like this. They fear God so much and His judgment and He's being mean and harsh and He's going to kill me that they say, I don't even want to believe in a God like that. So they run from the idea of God. They hide out of fear. This is an idolatry fear. This is what other religions do. They create gods that aren't like that, that they don't have to be afraid of. It happens all the time. Even in modern day Christianity, we're living in a nation who's creating a God so they don't have to be scared of Him. They create a God that is all love. They create a God that is all kindness and all accepting and all tolerant because they are scared to death of the real God. It's a non-judgmental God. It's an idol. It's something they made up with their minds. I say this all the time. Our idols today isn't the idols we make with our hands and put upon our shelves. It's idols we make with our mind, what we believe about God. It's a religious fear. I think we see this, maybe even have grown up in this. Because of poor teaching in churches, and maybe even because of an overcorrection, because there's so many people in our culture who don't fear God anymore, and they're not scared of Him, and they're not bowing down to Him. So churches start teaching this mean, cruel, hateful God who's going to punish you if you don't watch out, right? So they take this wrong imbalance of teaching this God who's up in that mountain ready to strike them down at any time. So what you get there is churches that present God in a mean and cruel way. They make people scared to death. And here's what they do. They obey God out of fear of God. Because they're afraid of Him. It's called legalism. I'm going to obey God just because I'm afraid if I don't, He's going to hurt me. It's like He's a cruel taskmaster. And God says over and over in the Bible, I'm not a cruel taskmaster. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But you have churches today that will put a load on people and they're basically saying, if you don't do this, God will punish you. Talking to Christians. They serve God out of fear. They pray out of fear. If I don't pray, He's going to hurt me. They give out of fear. If I don't give a tithe and an offering, He's going to curse my money. He's going to hurt me. They fast out of fear. If I don't stop eating for a day, a week, God's going to hurt me. Churches like that and Christians like that are the most miserable people on planet Earth. They torture themselves out of fear of being punished by God. Because they're afraid of God. Martin Luther was like that before he got saved as a Catholic. I'm going to read you a long quote here, so hang on. This is Martin Luther before he got saved. He said, God was depicted as a grim tyrant and a furious and stern judge who demanded so much of us and imposed good works as a payment for our sins. This makes us reluctant to go to Him. And my heart and my bad conscience shun Him whom I fear. Fear and terror prod and goad me away from God, not to God. I'm afraid of God. I'm not in awe of God. This is the wrong type of fear. I take that fear that Moses is telling them here, fear not. This is how we are to not fear God. This is not how we respond to God. It's the wrong fear. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, said it's the devil's work to promote a fear of God that's afraid of Him. I'm going to post that on social media tomorrow. It's the devil's work to promote a fear of God that is afraid of God. This is the wrong fear. This is the fear that God sees God as terrible. This is the way not to fear. So that's the start. Do not be afraid of God. But we are to be, second, in awe of God. So there's a fear that's afraid of God, and then there's a fear that is in awe of God. And that's this next one in Exodus 20. That's the very next word. And Moses, he said to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that His fear may be before your faces. You're getting ready to see God in a way you've never seen Him before. Don't you dare be afraid of Him. Be in awe of Him. The word would be awestruck of Him or overwhelmed by Him. It says His fear will be before your faces. It's His fear. It's the fear that God wants out of us. It's the fear that is the fear of God is what brings wisdom. It's the fear of God that pleases God. It's the fear of God that we want to have. It's a fear that is in complete and total awe of who God is. That when you see Him, you're not running as far away as you can. Your mouth is wide open and you're saying, wow! Wow, what a God! That's what this is. It's a different fear. It's a fear God wants us to have. I call it a good fear, a desired fear, a commendable fear, a fear that all of us must have. A fear that when we see God for who He really is, we're amazed at God. When they had the right understanding of God and they didn't have it yet, they would be in awe. I'm going to get that across. The first one is a fear that's afraid. It misunderstands God. It runs from God. The second fear is an awe of God because it understands who God really is in its fullest capacity. Not just what they're seeing on the mountain, but what they will see later on. And I'm going to read you some verses. If you want to turn with me to Exodus 33, when they really begin to see who God is, really, Exodus 33 and 34, Moses goes up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but he goes up into the mountain and he asks to see the glory of God. And the glory of God passes by him and he hides him in the cleft of the rock because he can't see the totality and the fullness of who God is. So it says, when the Lord passed by him, he saw this. 34 verse 6, starting in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord would be the character and the attributes and the nature of God. And what is that God like? And the Lord passed before him and he proclaimed the Lord God, who is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. It just goes on and on. All the good things about God, the things that they're missing. This isn't a God to run from. This is a God to run to. I mean, you see all the goodness and the mercy and the grace, all of it, even the justice of God. When you see the full picture of God, we don't run from God. We run to God. If you really knew who God was, you'd be running up into that mountain to meet Him. That's who He is. He's not just a God of anger and wrath. He's a God of goodness and grace. Let me read you a few more scriptures. Jeremiah 32. It says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. Why should they fear me forever? For the good I've done to them. And their children after them And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they won't depart from me. What a verse. So put fear in their hearts so they don't run from me, but that they run to me. Because when you really understand who God is, you're not afraid of Him and backing away. You're in awe of Him and bowing down. Let me read you another one, Jeremiah 33. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they've sinned, and whereby they've transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto them. They're going to fear me because I've been so good to them. I'll give you another one. I don't want to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the whole thing. Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba. This is the story of Jacob's ladder. And he went toward Haran. And he lighted up on a certain place and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and he put them under his head for pillows. And he laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And I said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and the seed, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad. You see all these blessings He's promising? And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places wherever you go, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. What was that fear? That God here is promising to bless and to keep and to increase him, to be with him and to fulfill all his good purposes. And in the face of all the goodness that God promised, he fears. He's in awe of it. That's what this word means. He's a complete and total awe of God. Now, God isn't a hazard to be avoided. God is glorious and should be worshipped. That's what this fear means. It's awe-struck. It's an overwhelming awe of who He is. And sometimes we do it because of His goodness. I'm going to give you more scripture. You just hang on. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord, it says, and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things He's done for you. Fear Him because of the great things He's done for you. Be in awe of all the great things that He's done for you. Jeremiah 10:7. Who would not fear Thee, it says, O King of Nations? For to Thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men in all the nations and all their kingdoms, there's nobody like You. I'm in awe of Your wisdom. I got more. But there's forgiveness with Thee, so that You'll be feared. In awe of His forgiveness. Just seeing that His greatness, His goodness, His wisdom, His forgiveness. Watch this, Revelation 15. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? This is in heaven. For Thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Fearing Him because He's holy, and awe of Him because He's holy. It could be any of His perfections that cause us to fear, that we would be in complete and total awe of who God is. That's what this is. It's not to be afraid of God. It's to be in awe of God. And we need to be people who aren't afraid of God. We need to be people who are so impressed, so totally overwhelmed and overcome at how great our God is. That's what it means to fear Him. And that type of fear runs to God, not away from Him. When we are in awe of God, it changes how we act towards God. So that we aren't like the ones that are afraid of Him, that we obey because we might get punished. We serve because we have to. We do all the things that we do. We pray and we read and we show up to church and we give. Because if we don't, He's going to hurt us. That's the most miserable people on the planet. That's the ones who are afraid of God. But we are in awe of who God is. So what do? We don't run from Him. We fall forward towards Him. And we love that God. And we enjoy that God. And we obey that God not out of fear, but out of love. That's what he says there. Back to Exodus 20, and we'll be done. I'm trying my best to show the distinction between the two. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, so that you won't see Him." He wants us to be so in awe of Him that we obey Him. How could I not obey that God? Get this. Why would people pray to a God they're afraid of? Because they have to? You pray to a God you're in awe of. Why would people serve a God that they're afraid of? Because they have to? Or a God that you're in awe of that you want to? Martin Luther said the God that he was afraid of was a God that he would run from. He actually said in one place that he began to hate that God. But when we see a God who is so amazing and out of this world, we love that God and we enjoy that God. And the people who serve that God and obey that God and sing to that God and pray to that God and fast for that God and do the things that we do for that God are the happiest people on planet Earth. This is the fear God wants. This is the fear that pleases God. This is the fear that is the beginning of wisdom. This is the fear that we all need and that we should all pass down to our kids from generation to generation to generation. I've got a couple more verses I want to read you and I'll close. Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons, and to thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in the mountain." Going back to that day, Exodus 20. "When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children to fear me." I don't know what else you want to teach your kids. Everything starts there. When your kids get a big view of who God is, when they see Him in all of His glory, like in Exodus 33, they see every bit of Him, not just the justice of God and the wrath. That's part of God. But then there's also the love and the mercy and the kindness and the forgiveness. And we see the full picture of who God is. And we're constantly seeing it, showing our kids that, and showing our church that. You don't have to make people do anything. They do it because they're in awe of God. That's what we want. To show the church how great God is. So that everybody, even our singing, you don't want to force singing on people. You don't look out and say, "Sing!" That's not coming from your heart, is it? You need to sing. You need to sing. You need to give. Offering plate. Preach how great God is, and the singing will come from their heart. There's worship. Preach how great God is, and people will be emptying their pockets out just to get to Him. You know? Preach how great God is, and they'll serve Him because they want to. Preach how great God is, and the church will love Him. Don't look at your kids and say, "You better be good." Not like He's a mean Santa Claus. He's watching you. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. God will get you. Now we show how great God is. And our kids need to be in awe of Him. I need to be in awe of Him. You need to be in awe of Him. We as a church need to preach a big God. Yes. And that'll change how you live. When you're in awe of God and you're a God-fearer, we might be, that book said, where have all the God-fearers gone? Where have all the churches that preach a big God gone? That's the question. That's what we want. We want. And we'll do that over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to show you God. And every one of us should be walking away with our jaws on the ground. And it'll change everything about the way we live. I remember reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe years ago, when Gracie was just a little bitty thing. I was like, I'm going to read her this. It didn't go very well. But I remember one part in the story when little Lucy was talking to the village about Aslan the lion. I don't know if you guys have read it or not. It kind of shows how nerdy I am. And she's asking about the great lion who portrays Jesus in the book. And she says, is he safe? They're going to take little Lucy to go see him. Is he safe? Can we get around this big lion with the big mane and the big teeth? Is he safe? And they respond to Lucy, no, he's not safe. But he's good. He's the kind of lion you can go around. And when you read that and you think, is God safe? No way, he's safe. But he's a good God. Amen. And we can all come to him because he's a God of mercy and love and forgiveness and kindness. Is he safe? But he's good. He's a good God. And we should be in awe of that God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I've done my best to show the distinction between these two. And I hope our church has got it tonight. And I hope we can move forward in this series over the next few weeks. And that we can be in awe of you. I didn't have time to take passage to passage and show them who you are. But I want to do that over the next few weeks. And I pray that you'll help me. So that we could be God-fearers here. We want that. I want that. I want my kids to be raised to be God-fearers. It changes everything about our lives. How we view things. How we live. So God, help us to be God-fearers. To see a glorious vision of who you are in your word. And forgive us, God, for not showing the full picture of who you are. So God, tonight I say I love you for who you are. I'm in awe of who you are. Thank you for all your goodnesses and mercies to me and to all of us. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.